We're going to focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. We're in week 11, the final week of a series we've entitled Crazy Faith. It's only crazy until it happens. This whole series has been inspired by the work of another pastor. His name is Michael Todd. And through this series, we've been saying that crazy is an idea or an action that just lacks reason. It doesn't make sense. And hopefully through this series, you've been challenged to grow in your faith, that whether you already had amazing faith or your faith is way down here, hopefully you've had a chance to put some of this into practice and level up in faith. Now today we're looking to ask and hopefully answer this question: what can I expect to experience when I'm challenged to have crazy faith? Now if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you, because there is hope found in Jesus. And today at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull out the Bible app. We're going to be turning today to Matthew chapter 1, very first chapter of the New Testament. We'll be reading out of the New Living Translation, or NLT, and we encourage you to actually use the Bible app to look it up when we look at it, even though the word's going to be up on the screen here in just a second, because we want you to have its placeholder in there, because after we review this passage today, after we break it down, we want you to reread it for yourself. Read all around it. Just don't read all around it while I'm talking, okay? Do it later. Now, when he came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. They have some fill in the blanks. This is the purpose of this is to really just keep you awake and to let you know how long is this guy going to be talking for today. But we also encourage you to use this as a devotion later on this week. Pull it back out, read the Bible passages, reread it for yourself. And as we go along, the answers will be up on the screen. I want to say hi to those who are watching online with us today. We're so glad that you're watching with us, and we want to know who is watching with us. So if you wouldn't mind taking a moment right now to say hi in the chat below or in the comments. We have a host who's watching with you. They want to greet you, and they want to know that you're there. Maybe tell us who you're watching with or where you're watching from. So we're reading today in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And here's what it says. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's take a moment to talk to God. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that we're here today. We pray that you help us as we unpack your word for us. God, I pray that you would challenge us, that we would grow in our faith in you. Be with us today. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. When I was in college, I was trying to figure out cheaper ways to go to college. And you know what was expensive? Dorms. Dorms and food. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to come up with a way to do this cheaper. And I'm going to see if someone will rent me a bedroom and a bathroom. And so I found a professor who would rent out their bedroom and their bathroom for me, and it was great. And I went over to their house, and I saw this decoration in their house that kind of had me wondering what's going on here, that maybe this is kind of weird. You see, in the middle of their living room hung a Christmas tree. I'm thinking, what is that doing there? And so I decided to ask them, and I'm trying to do it nicely and everything because they just said yes to me renting their room. And I said, so why do you have a Christmas tree hanging in your living room? Did you notice I said hanging? Hanging, not set up in the living room, hanging in their living room. Well, they explained to me that they had animals and that whenever they put a Christmas tree up, the animals would always attack the Christmas tree and knock it over. So they engineered something that would work a lot better. They suspended the Christmas tree from the ceiling where there was nothing underneath, so if the cat jumped at it, it just swung side to side, and it was still there. And that was a great answer, except that wasn't the question I was asking. I wasn't asking, why do you have it hanging in your living room? I was asking, why is there a Christmas tree in your living room? Because it's July. Now today you're like, what is going on, Pastor? Why are we reading the Christmas story here today? This doesn't make sense. Don't you know what time of year it is? Don't you know what season it is? Don't you know, Pastor, you're supposed to be reading a section of the Bible dealing with palm branches, right? It's Palm Sunday. It's the week before Easter. We're not supposed to be talking about Christmas, are we? Well, here's the deal. Mary and Joseph, when this happened to them, this wasn't Christmas season. There was no Christmas. It didn't exist. We don't know what month this took place, when this happened, but here's what we do know, that God intervened in their life and set them on a whole different trajectory that was crazy, that didn't make sense. And when this all happened, this might as well have been just any old Tuesday. You see, Mary and Joe's story is really one of a crazy faith journey. And as we close out this series on crazy faith, as we end it, I think it would be appropriate that we summarize the whole series, and we're able to summarize in a way by looking at someone else's crazy faith journey. And I believe that as we go through their story of what happened when God changed the trajectory of their life, that we're going to see all the different phases of what happens when you're on a crazy faith journey, what you can expect to experience when you're doing this. You see, there's six phases of crazy faith, and the first one is that we get a crazy word. Here's what was going on in Mary and Joe's time. Their country had just been conquered by a military empire, the Roman Empire, not the Imperial Empire. And they were conquered, and the new conquerors are sending in soldiers. They're like trying to keep people from practicing their religious beliefs. There was political unrest at the time. There was lots of confusion. As a matter of fact, the Romans wanted to know just how many people had they conquered, so they declared a census. Say, we're going to count everybody. Everyone go back to your hometown. We're going to count everyone and figure out what's going on. So we're talking about a dark time in their country's history. We're talking about a dark time politically, socially, economically, everything. And in the middle of that, we have a sweet young couple who has big plans for their life. They've made plans to be together, to get engaged. They're going to get married. Can you just imagine some of the plans they probably had? Joe was an apprentice of a carpenter, and he's working on that. And he's like, Mary, one day I'm going to have a shop of my own. I'm going to be a carpenter. And here's what I picture, Mary. Just picture this with me, Mary. Imagine that we have a whole bunch of boys, and they're all carpenters, and they work with me. And it's Joe and Sons Carpentry. They probably had great plans of what they're doing, and they're already working the plan because Joe said, will you marry me? And she said, yes, and they're going. And all of a sudden, she comes to him and says, Joe, I'm pregnant. And she says something about, like, I promise I didn't do anything. I didn't see anyone. It just happened. And then an angel told me, like, it was from God. And Joe's like, that's the most unbelievable story ever. Why are you lying to me? Like, this doesn't make sense. And why? Why would you have to mess up? We had a good thing going. This is crazy. This doesn't make sense. Can you imagine how upset he would have been? Can you imagine how confused she was in this situation? That this didn't make sense. They loved God. They were doing everything right. And yet God says, hey, let me throw you a curveball. Let me mess things up. Let me make your life a little more crazy. And so, can you imagine Joe? He doesn't want to get really mad there, and so he probably just goes for a walk, right? Because that's what guys do. They go for a walk. I got to think about this. I'll be back. You know, I'm just going to walk. And he's walking us out, and he's trying to figure out what to do, and he decides, you know what? I can't continue. I can't get married to her. I don't know if I believe her, and this doesn't make sense. This doesn't normally happen. And you know what? I guess what would be a good thing is he walked a little further. I'll just quietly divorce her. I'll quietly just break off the engagement that, you know, I don't want to embarrass her. I don't want to make it a public deal. And that's what he decides. But he didn't just walk. He also went to this great spot to think. A lot of guys do this. They take naps. Fell asleep. And during his sleep, he had a dream in which an angel appeared to him, which really did happen. And the angel said, hey, what Mary's saying is true. This is not because she cheated on you or messed things up. This is God's doing. And think about this. The angel said, you're going to have the kid. You're going to marry Mary. And you're going to name him Jesus. And he's going to save the world. I mean, this was crazy. This was a crazy word. I mean, and Joe and Mary's life was crazy. It was already crazy. Then this happened, and then that happened. And it's like, whoa. In a lot of ways, if we look at our lives, we could say that our lives are crazy. There's things going around us in our community, in our country, in our world. Things, if you just watch the news any period of time, it's like, whoa, the sky is falling, right? We live in dark times. Things are, there's unrest. There's uncertainty on what things happening economically, politically, socially, culturally. And in the midst of that, so we have our relationships and we have our ups and downs and we have our job situation, we have our kids and everything. Say, life is crazy. And it's in these crazy moments that God also says to us, hey, here's a curveball. He says, I want you to do this. And he gives us a word, a crazy word. Now, the word you get from God could be like Joe. It comes in a dream. Maybe it comes from praying. Maybe it comes from worshiping God. Maybe it comes from a message from a friend. And maybe it comes from something that you read or something that you watch. It can come in all different ways. But do know this, that God still gives direction and crazy words today. And it's not just limited to a few people. It's not just for pastors. It's for everyone who follows him that God gives crazy words. But here's the problem with these words he gives is that they are crazy. They don't make sense. And here's the thing. They're so far out there that as we look at it, we say, this seems impossible. This doesn't make sense. But let me tell you, if we walk on a faith journey and we go and do everything that God has us, when we look back at it, we see how God was in it all the way, connecting the dots. And it makes perfect sense afterwards. But when we're starting it, when we're doing it, it doesn't make sense. But this is what God does. He doesn't show us the whole big plan. He doesn't show us the final destination. Instead, he just says, I'm going to show you your next step, the thing you're supposed to do. And this is biblical. In God's word, it says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, meaning he's not showing the whole highway to the end. He's saying, hey, I'm going to light up your next step. So this angel, this word from God, went to Joe and said, go ahead, marry Mary. Name the kid Jesus. He's going to be savior of the world. And this is a crazy word. And after we get a crazy word, something happens to every single person who gets a crazy word. You experience crazy worry. How is this going to happen? How can I afford this? This doesn't make sense. Am I going crazy? I don't believe it. It's crazy. We worry. We worry about things out of our control. Let me tell you, when God said, hey, Ryan, Focus Church is going to expand its building, I'm like, that's awesome, until I started calculating how much that costs. Then I'm like, that's impossible. And I began worrying, like, how are we going to do this? How's this going to work? We can't do this. But God gives us instructions in his word as to what we're supposed to do. This is a normal part. Let me just say, it's a normal thing to worry. It's what we do. We're humans. We worry. But God gives us some help in this, and he describes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, what we're supposed to do when we worry. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. So he's saying, don't worry, pray and thank instead. And if we do these things, this is one of God's promises that we talk about that are if-then statements, that if you want this from God, he'll say, you got to do this, and I'll give you this. It's a promise. So as long as we do this, it's a formula, this is going to happen. So if, instead of worrying, we pray and thank God, here's what's going to happen. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Wow. Well, that would be kind of helpful because God just gave a crazy word. I'd like to have his peace. In order to have his peace, peace that I can't even understand, but I want to experience, that'll guard my heart and guard my mind, I have to, instead of worrying, I need to pray and thank God. So when we worry, God wants us to pray. Pray about what? Everything. For health? Everything. Who I'm going to date or marry? Everything. For your finances? Everything. For your kids? Everything. Whatever keeps you up at night? Everything. Pray and thank God. You see, worry adds nothing, but takes away everything. So after we calm ourselves, when we let go and let God do his thing, what we've got to do is we've got to do something. That's what was on those little onesies with those little babies, right? We got to do something. We got to take some action when it comes to God giving us a word. So the next phase of your faith journey is that we need to start a crazy walk. Mary and Joseph had to actually leave. They had to say, we're getting together, we're sticking together, and now together we got to make a journey to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was not close to where they're at. It's believed that it's about 90 miles apart. And that wasn't by car, that was by walking. So just imagine that today, right after service, we're all going on a hike to Appleton, about 90 miles away. Google Maps says it's going to take us 32 hours. But I promise you, it will not take any of us 32 hours. Because that's 32 hours, assuming you don't need to stop to use the restroom, to eat, to rest, to sleep. And that's assuming you also go at the same pace the entire time, which we can't do that because we're not used to walking for 32 hours straight. So it takes much longer. Now think for Joe and Mary. They're taking this journey to Bethlehem. She's pregnant. And so that means that she's going to need extra time. But they take the journey. You got to start somewhere. A walk was required. You see, whatever God asks you to do, action is required. But a lot of times we don't start the journey because we don't know what the destination is. Say, God, if you'll just tell me where I'm headed, then I'll begin. And that's not how God works. Sometimes he just says, go. But we don't go because we don't know where we're going. But let me tell you that if we could see the ending, then it wouldn't require faith in the beginning. Pastor Ferg shared with us that God was speaking to him to say he should go. And we asked him, where are you going? He's like, I have no idea, and I don't want to. But I know that God's saying go. I'm like, okay. Well, then you need to do something with that. And that's what he did in coming forward and talking to us, that it wasn't just stuck in his brain for too long. He's like, hey, I have heard from God, and now I need to obey God. I need to shorten the distance in between. And I think he's been paying attention too much to this crazy faith series. I wish he wasn't. You see, he's reached the point in his crazy faith journey that he has to take action, to make plans for what he's going to do next, to begin searching and saying, God, where is it? But I'm taking the first step, and I'm leaving, and I'm going, not knowing where the final destination is, but he knows he has to start the crazy walk. So Pastor Ferg, we celebrate you today as modeling crazy faith for us. Thank you for being an amazing example of saying yes to God. Let's appreciate him today. When we are walking forward with crazy faith, it usually takes a lot of time. You see, we have to crazy wait. It's not instant. We would like for things to be instant. We would like things to be faster. I mean, just look, in the last 5 years, technology has been driven faster and faster to get what we want faster. I mean, I love Amazon right now. I try to search for things that will show up before I wake up tomorrow morning. Oh, it's amazing. But the way things are going, what's going to be happening is that before we even think and know that we need it, it's going to already be at our doorstep. It's just a trajectory of where it's going. We like things to be instant. We want things to be fast. We want things to happen right away. I'm sure Pastor Ferg wants to know exactly, God, where am I going? That's what we want. But usually when we're on a walk, we're on this crazy walk, it requires some waiting. And while we're waiting, which it took them a long time to get to Bethlehem, they probably had a lot of talks. Probably a lot of talks that were very excitable, loud, mean. Just imagine you're traveling with a pregnant lady, and it's exhausting, and it's tired, and it's crazy. And why are we doing this? And are you sure we saw, had a dream? Sure it wasn't just some bad pizza or something? And yeah. But when we are waiting, we need to be focused. We need to be serving. We need to be doing what we can that moves us towards the goal. See, waiting is not just sitting in a waiting room watching vertical videos on our phones. That's not waiting. But waiting when it comes to God is actually preparing for what he has for us next. So it's not just saying, God, I'm just going to sit here and lounge and just wait on you. Just, I'm ready. Just to say go, and I'm going to go and just, hey, whenever you're ready, God, I'm here. No. Instead, we need to be making the most of the time that we're waiting. I'm asking Pastor Ferg to come out. I've been on a special diet for the last year, and that meant that I've eaten more salads in the last year than I have in my lifetime. And it's just reached that time. I'm off schedule, so I actually need to eat here today. So if you don't mind, I've got to prepare my salad. Now, when I prepare my salad, I've come to really appreciate making a salad and doing it. And I look at this and I say, you know what? Salad as it comes is not ready to consume. It's not ready to be eaten. That even though it looks pretty here, which is this is one of those cranberry bacon blue salads from Culver's, except on nice plate, right? And nice silverware, not plastic, right? But as soon as I get my salad, this is what I start doing with it. I start taking the lettuce, and I start cutting it. And then, oh, I've really come to appreciate cucumbers. But I could eat this cucumber in one bite, but if I cut it up, I could enjoy this cucumber with four bites. Oh, and one of the best things about getting a salad like this is you got chicken. You got chicken here, and I could eat this piece of chicken in one bite. But if I will prepare my salad, I can make this one piece of chicken last for three bites. And you may say, Pastor, this is kind of weird. What are you doing cutting up the lettuce? I mean, my wife says that every single time. She's like, you're ridiculous. No one ever does this. But I'm like, but I do it. Because here's why. It never fails when you have a lettuce. I mean, when you have a salad. Did you go stick your fork in it? You grab a piece. You have a piece that's bigger than your whole mouth, and then you got dressing on it, and it's all over your face, and it's just messy, and it's not enjoyable. And then it can't hold the toppings properly. And so, but if you'll take the time and cut it all up and then mix up everything, because sometimes it's all on the side, you mix it all up, it gets to just the perfect spot where you can be like, ah, it's ready. And here's how I know it's ready. I no longer need to hold my knife. I could just use my fork, and I could just eat my salad. And nothing's going to fall off my fork because it's all in bite-sized pieces. It's going to be enjoyable, and all the good parts of the salad, which, by the way, are not the green things, all the good parts of the salad are spread out in the whole meal. You see, I have to prepare the salad first. In the same way, as we are waiting, we are supposed to be preparing for what God has for us next. We may not know where the final destination is, but we will have clues as to what we're going to be doing. So what are we doing to prepare mentally, physically, spiritually, our finances, our relationships, our skill sets? What are we doing? How are we saying yes to God? How are we serving? I mean, something always strikes me as real interesting. It never fails. There'll always be someone in the church family who says, "Pastor, I want to serve at Focus Church. I want to serve, and I think my place to serve is to be on the stage. I think I need to be holding one of those microphone things, that I need to be speaking or teaching or singing." I'm like, "Great, you feel like you're supposed to serve. Can you help move chairs?" And they're like, "Nope." "But you said you're supposed to serve." See, while you're waiting for where you think you're going to be, what are you doing now to prepare? What are you doing now that's along the same lines to show that you're getting ready? We've got to prepare. You know, that salad would be worth the wait when it's all ready. But I found most of the time, my family has already eaten their whole Culver's meal by the time it's ready for me. But it's worth the wait. When Mary and Joe got to Bethlehem, I could just imagine what they were thinking. Because they were probably thinking, "Finally, we're there. Finally, we can get a bath. Finally, we can lay down on a bed." And a lot of times when we're going through a tough time and we're doing something hard and we're being forced to wait, we look to the future and we tell ourselves a lie that we tend to believe all the time. It will get easier. Life will get better. It won't be as hard anymore. But notice I said that's a lie. We always tell ourselves that. And then we're actually kind of confused when it's not true. But let me explain in a very simple sense why it's a lie. This lie of saying, "One day, while I'm going through hard stuff, it's going to be better. One day, it's going to get easier." Now imagine right now if I said, "Guess what? We're all going for a 1 mile run." Now there are some people that tend to run for fun. They're crazy. The only reason we need to learn how to run is to run from bears. And you don't need to run faster than a bear. You just need to run faster than the person next to you. Right? Yes. Okay, but if we all said today, we are all going for a 1 mile run, most of us in this room and most of us online, we would die. Literally die today. Why? Because we have not been preparing to run 1 mile. Our body would be screaming at us. We probably hurt something. We might fall. We will give up. We're not going to make it. And we'd say, "Oh, if only this would get easier." But if we ran a mile today and barely survived, and then tomorrow went to go run a mile, and the day after that we went and ran a mile, and we ran a mile after that, and every day we start running a mile, guess what happens? Somehow running a mile gets easier. But it gets easier not because somehow a mile became shorter, not because the path changed. Do you know what changed? You did. Because God designed your body in such an amazing, marvelous way that your body is designed to adapt to whatever activity you put it through. And so if you start telling your body, "We're running a mile every day," guess what? Your body's going to be the most efficient machine for running a mile a day until you force it to go 2 miles. But it adapts in the same way in our spiritual walk. That God may require us to do something. We're like, "This is hard. I can't do this." Our whole body inside is screaming, "I can't, I can't." But as we follow God more and we do more for God, it doesn't get easier. We change. We adapt to what we're doing. So it feels like it's easier, but it's just the simple fact is that we're stronger. We trust God more. We get there. It's part of this faith journey. Anything, You know what God likes to do? He likes to make it harder. Harder. That you may have trusted God to a level, you're like, I got this. And God's like, okay, I see you. How about not going here? And when we get there, like, ah, oh, I'm there. And God's like, okay, now how about here? God likes to raise it up. And you know why? I mean, this really is his MO. This is his method of operating. This is what he does. You see, Mary and Joe, they were on this journey, and this journey was bigger than just them growing in some faith. Their journey was bigger than them just dealing with some relationship issues and people talking about them and about this illegitimate child they had. This was bigger than their story because their story tied into the bigger story that God was sending his son to this planet to save the world. We weren't talking about Joe and Mary's crazy faith. We're talking about something even bigger. We're talking about saving faith. Because the Savior of the world was about to be born. This is bigger. But it's not about what we do that matters. But it's about what God can do that only he can do. You see, when it comes to salvation, God's laid it out this way that we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do to get it. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. You can't help enough old ladies across the street to get into heaven. You can't give enough to get into heaven. You can't show up to church enough to get into heaven. You can't do enough good deeds enough to get into heaven because you can't earn it. You can't do it. God sets the bar higher and higher to where it puts it out of reach. And why? Because God's point is this. It's all about what he can do, not about what we can do. You see, in our crazy faith journey, usually God provides a crazy way that only he can do, that only he can accomplish. I love sharing stories of what God's doing that involve this phrase. This doesn't normally happen. You see, when they got to Bethlehem and they're like, yes, we're here finally. We can sleep in a bed. We're going to have a warm bath. That's going to be great. We've been clean from this road trip that we've been on forever. We can sit down and have a meal. They discovered that when they went to the hotel, they were booked solid. And the Bible describes that not only was the hotel booked solid, but every single place in town was booked solid. Now, for you and I, we can figure that out from the comfort of our home using the hotels.com app to see if there's any openings, any vacancy. But back then, they couldn't, which meant they knocked on every door to be shut down every single time. And what then seemed impossible, that what are we going to do? We have to be here. The government's requiring it. God made a way where there was no way. There was one guy who took pity on him and says, I don't have any rooms in my inn. But you know what? I don't normally do this. But you guys can stay in my barn. It's where I keep the animals. It's okay to stay in there. And it was the perfect place for the story to be written. And the story that God is writing right here at Focus Church, God's already providing in crazy ways, things that don't normally happen. But in order for all this to happen, in order for everything that God's saying, you're going to do this, we need God to come through in an amazing way. We need to be praying for it. We need to be expecting it. We need to be looking for it. We need to see God make a way when there is no way. You see, because God can do in a moment what it'd take us a lifetime to figure out. But Mary and Joe weren't the only ones in the story that were on a crazy faith journey. There were some shepherds and there were some wise men who God gave crazy words to, and they went on a crazy walk. They had to wait to get there. God provided a way for them to be a part of the celebration of God sending his son to this planet to save the world. And when they got there, And when they saw Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, you know what they did? They knelt down and they worshiped him. You see, when God takes us through a crazy faith journey, we celebrate with crazy worship. That's all we can do. You know, this coming up Wednesday is First Wednesday, and God has directed this church family to take the first Wednesday evening of the month and set it aside for him to praise him, to worship him, and to pray to him. It's when we also celebrate communion. This is the most important thing we can be doing on this faith journey, because when only God can make something happen, all we can do is say, God, you're awesome. You get all the glory. You get all the honor. It's not about us. It's not about what we did. It's not about what we know. It's not what we figured out. It's about what he has done, where he's made a way where there is no way. And we need to be praying for the miracles. We need to be worshiping God because he's worthy. We need to be praising him for what he's done. It's the most important thing we could be doing. And I would say that if we're really all on this faith journey together, this crazy faith journey together, it's not just Pastor Ryan and Pastor Shalee's crazy faith journey, it's all of us, that we've got to be united together in praise and in worship and in prayer, because only God can make this happen, and we need God to make it happen. Only God can make a way. And so I think it'd be amazing that this coming Wednesday at 6:45, or it's only an hour and 15 minutes, 6:45 to 8 o'clock. I think it'd be amazing if we have to find extra chairs because we can't all fit in one room at one time. See, God wants to do amazing things that only he can do. He needs us to do our part. That's why he sends us curveballs. That's why he raises the bar. That's why he gives us words. But he doesn't want to do it just once. He wants to do it. He can do it over and over and over. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That he can just keep on doing this all day. Crazy faith journeys. It doesn't get easier. We get stronger. We adapt. So if there's something, a statement maybe we need to claim today, something we need to focus on, something we need to say, this is where I am at and where I am going. It's in the yellow box on your notes, and here's what it says. It says that I will continually repeat the cycle of crazy faith in my life. You see, once we go through crazy faith journey, we've got to keep the pedal to the metal, to keep on going, keep on pushing the gas and not stop. To not stop believing, to believe for more, to be listening for the next word, to have crazy faith all over again. This is the plan. This is how God operates. This is what we do. This is what we experience when we have faith. And this is for everyone. Everyone who's a follower of God. God wants to, no matter where you're at, to send you on a new trajectory. To grow in your faith, to trust him. He wants to do so much with you, through you, for you. But we got to say yes. It was a year and a half ago where I was praying a dangerous prayer, and I just apologize for praying this prayer. Because here's what I prayed. I said, God, when it comes to Focus Church, what specifically are we supposed to be doing? Like, I know we need to help people find God. I know we need to love God and love people and do something. But what are we supposed to be doing? What's our bullseye? What's the vision? And I say it's a dangerous prayer because you have to be not just prepared to pray that prayer, but you got to be prepared for the answer. And God began rolling it out and giving me crazy words, and it just was happening. And what he was showing, he was saying, hey, you're going to impact foster care. You're going to create a foster care emergency placement home that's going to serve your community and serve your county. You're going to create a next-gen center. And he showed me the next-gen centers. You're going to expand your place, and you're not just going to be a church with the next-gen center, but you're going to be a next-gen center where teens and kids and young adults from the community are here all throughout the week doing all sorts of things. And when I heard and saw these things, when he answered that prayer, I'm like, whoa, that's a crazy word. It took a bit to wrap my mind around it. Like, wow, God, I was thinking like for something simple, like a food pantry, not something crazy. And I have to say that I spent a year and a half worrying, crazy worry, like, how are we going to do this? That we've taken steps forward, we proclaimed it, we've made statements, have not shied away from saying it out there that this is what we're supposed to do. But this wasn't a dream or a plan or a word for Pastor Ryan or for Pastor Shalee. This was a word for us, all of us. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident that you're part of this family. It's not an accident that you're watching online today. Everyone has a role in this whole thing. We're all supposed to be doing this together. This is what God has for this family, for this church. And I have to say, as I began saying, okay, God, I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to try to worry less, and I'm going to take those first steps. And I began being able to wrap my mind around the idea. I'm like, okay, God, we're going to figure out how we're going to double the size of our facility. And here's what God said to me. He's like, okay, I see your faith, and I'm going to raise you. I don't want you to double your facility. I want you to triple your facility. I'm like, God, I couldn't figure out how to afford double. It's like, triple. I'm like, okay. When I finally reached the point to where I can just wrap my mind around, okay, I guess we're going to triple, and God, you got to come through in some crazy way, and we're gonna take the steps of faith, and we're going to do this. God's like, okay, I see your faith, and I raise you. And I want you to also plan on getting the two properties to the north of you. That's where the foster care home is going to go. I'm like, God, I can't afford this triple-wide building. And now you want me to own land and houses and build something else. But we took the baby steps. We said, we're going on this walk. We said it publicly. We're going to do this. And it was recently that I finally got to the point of actually writing letters and submitting letters to the owners of the home to say, we want your property. Will you sell it to us? We're expanding, and this is what we want to do with it. So I finally reached the point of faith to take actions, to take the step to actually do it. And God's like, I see your faith, and I want to raise you. And I'm like, God, I can't take this statement anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. You're stretching way beyond. If it was impossible down here, why are you taking it way up here? Because you know what? Here's what he said to me. He said, yeah, you had the faith to go get two properties. I want you to contact every bordering property around this property. What? Okay. He said, I see your faith and I raise you. And you know what God's doing? God is putting this dream, this vision, this crazy word beyond anything that we can accomplish, that we can do, so that when it happens, who gets credit? It's God, right? It's not because of me. If anything, the biggest danger is I'm the one who's going to stop it, not make it happen. He gets all the glory. He's the one who's going to make a way. But we've got to do our part. We've got to engage in this. So this is the crazy faith journey we're on. We have a crazy word. We're experiencing crazy worry. It's a crazy walk. We've got to take the steps. It's going to require crazy waiting. God's going to come through in crazy ways that this doesn't normally happen. And we better be crazy worshiping God, because he's the only way it's going to happen. This church needs to be a church that says yes to God. Just like we've got an example today, Pastor Ferg saying yes to God. we're going to be a church that says yes to God. And when we get there, it won't be over, because what does God do? I see your faith and I raise you one. That we rinse and repeat. We do this over and we do this over and we do this over. And it doesn't get any easier. It gets harder, but we change. This is what it means to experience crazy faith. This is where it's at. This is where we're at right now. This is not just for me. This is for all of us together, individually and collectively together. Because in the end, we're not looking to impact foster care because we're just good-hearted. We're not looking to invest in the next generation just because, you know, no one else is doing it, because it's a need in our community. In the end, it's not about having a crazy faith story, but it's about having saving faith. That this is really all about connecting people to God. That our focus is helping people find God's place in their life. That's where it matters. You see, I made the mistake early on when I heard the crazy word that we're going to have a next-gen center, to say, wow, one day we're going to have an awesome next-gen center. And God's like, Ryan, what are you doing? You already have a building. What are you doing? And it changed perspective of what do we have with what we do in the meantime, in this waiting time. And that's why we've started our Burst Thursday program after school. That's why we have our preschool gymnastics program. That's why we do respite care once a month on Saturdays with Eat, Hang, and Play. And that's why we recently launched Focus Gaming another arm of this, to do video gaming tournaments and events for kids and teens and young adults. And just this past Friday, we held a huge tournament, a video game tournament in this room. This room had 45 young people who were contestants. We had volunteers to this room. We had people who came to watch people. There were 92 different people who watched our live stream of this video game tournament. And the winner of this tournament at the end, this young man, he goes to Pastor Randon at the end. And here's what he says. He says, wow. He's like, this was really cool. See, I want to let you know that I'm a Muslim. And this has to be the very first time ever in my life I've ever set foot in a church. And he's like, it's kind of cool. See, we might think it's just about our crazy faith journey, just our crazy faith story. But in the end, it's a part of the bigger picture of what God's doing. And it's about saving faith. We're going to pray right now. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, to bow your heads, because we're going to pray. Say, God, we don't want to stop, but we're going to keep on going. God, we're so thankful that you got plans for us, that you got words for us of what you want us to do, what you want us to be, what you want us to accomplish. And God, they make us worry. We're real. We don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know the why behind it, but God, we trust you. And you said to take our worries, instead pray about it, and to thank you. So God, we say thank you. And we're praying to you now, God. There's pathways that you've put this family on that don't make sense, that are big or beyond us. But God, we know that in the end, we'll be able to look back and say, wow, God was in it the whole way. So we know that our place right now is to walk forward, to prepare while waiting, to do our part, to not give up, to listen to you, to obey and shorten that distance in between. God, we're going to be looking for how you come through in crazy ways. We're going to be expecting it. We're going to be praying for that. God, we're going to take seriously the call to prayer, the call to worship, the call to praise, that we'll gather together as you've asked us to. Help us, God, as we grow in our crazy faith individually and we grow collectively. Help us to accomplish all you set out for us. May we not stop. May we not give up. May we not turn back. But God, we recognize more is at stake. This is not just a story that you're writing, but this is about lives that you want to impact. It's about your saving faith. Help us, God, to be a part of what you're doing, because we recognize that your plans are the best plans, and we want to be in the middle of whatever you are doing. So we say yes, in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that a few moments ago, I said that if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope here at the end, and here we are. See, God loves you very much. So much that he sent his son Jesus to save you. You see, we are all lost in our sin, with our internal punishment that is destined for us to spend eternity apart from God in hell, unless something changes. And as we've already said today, there's nothing we can do to change it ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't give enough. We can't help enough. We can't earn it. It is a gift from God. It's a gift from him. Somebody say, Pastor, I want what you're talking about, but what do we have to do then to get it if we can't earn it, if we don't deserve it? Well, the Bible says that he did this for us, and we just simply need to have a conversation with him. We call it prayer. And in this prayer, we need to recognize that we're not worthy, that we can't earn it. We got to say we're sorry for the sin in our life. Secondly, we got to believe that he did send Jesus to pay the price with his life. That's what Easter is about, that Jesus came to die for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. God rose him again on the third day, came back to life, defeating death, hell, and the grave, making it possible for us to experience true freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from eternal damnation, that we could actually live a new life, a life with hope, a life with purpose. We're not talking about a life with butterflies and rainbows. We're talking about God always being there with us. God giving us crazy words and directions that we get to accomplish amazing things for God, not because of what we can do, but because he can do. And we just say yes. So I want to help you start your crazy faith journey today with saving faith. I'm going to pray that prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to encourage you to say it out loud, repeating after me. And don't worry, you're not going to be praying alone, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us. So everybody together is going to be praying, both here in person and online. You see, this is the most important thing we do here at Focus Church. We are focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so let's pray right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.